And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
All right, there's no sound coming from you, and it's, I don't know if you're muted. It says you're hooked
up. No, it's, okay.
There you go.
There we go. Okay, well, yeah. Let me try this again. This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. It is April 19th, 2013. I'm Doug Hagman, the co-host of my son, Joe Hagman, and you're about to hear 3 hours of unbiased, uncensored news and analysis. And you're listening to the only show where the news is presented to you in 3D. We look beyond the headlines and bylines and bring you the news behind the news. And this is perhaps the only show where you just never know how long we'll be on the air without incident. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find us on the internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. And by the grace of God, and I mean that, we are broadcast simulcast by the Christians United Broadcasting Network. You can tune your computers to the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. Spell out the entire phrase, the Hagman and Hagman Report.com. That's to listen to us via the Christians United Broadcasting Network. I want to thank Troy, compliment Troy for that. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief, your trust, and quite frankly, your patience, as we have experienced so many difficulties of late. We've taken steps to repair the difficulties, and it seems like we were always doing that. It's a constant battle to stay on the air. I had a conversation, multiple conversations with people today about this very issue. And when they learned of our live listen numbers, the amount of people who listen to the show live, they said, "Nah, you must be mistaken." And we showed them our reporting stats, the unedited reporting stats. There's no way we can fudge the numbers. And they said, "Holy cow."
We don't have a pay bracket for that amount of listeners.
they said, yeah, exactly. For example, Blog Talk, Live 365, and other such outlets or platforms, they were like incredulous. I mean, it was incredulous. They said, "No, we're not sure we can handle the volume, can't handle the stream," and it was quite the education that I received and we received. But it's a good thing because it means that we're growing, and it means that you're listening. And it means that the word is getting out. So it's a good problem to have. Frustrating indeed, but a very good problem to have. But having said that, Joe, I just and by the way, we're going to be taking your calls during the third and final hour of tonight's show. We've got so much information to get into because we missed last night.
Yes, anybody who is living through the martial law, living in Boston, call in. Tell us what you're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're at ground zero, so to speak, in the if you're within arms or your sight distance of what is taking place in Boston, in the suburb of Boston, call in if you're in Watertown, call in and advise us what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what is taking place, because folks. This is going to dominate. This subject is going to dominate the majority of the program.
We have tanks on the streets, pretty much.
Yeah.
New armored vehicles. There are reports on Twitter that gun confiscations were taking place. I have not confirmed that anywhere else, but those are only initial reports. They were telling people to stay in their homes, keeping their doors locked. Now, apparently, as I was uploading the latest clip of the current news on the situation in Boston, suspects, while one was dead, they were looking for another. They apprehended the second one or are currently in the process of executing him. I'm not sure how that played out or what's going on because I can't see a TV, but...
Yeah, actually, I'm watching the monitor here in the studio monitor, and if I swing it to you, it would cause probably a cable issue. But the bottom line with this is... I guess we could take it from the top. Here's the timeline of events, and really, with all the speculation, with all of the
what we should do here is because this suspects, the two they say are the ones carried out the bombings. I haven't seen any videotape of them dropping the bombs. They obviously have surveillance tape of the whole situation, which they're not releasing to the public for some reason. But I want to see proof that these two gentlemen put these backpacks down and walked away, and that's what detonated. Is that too much to ask from a place that was obviously surveilled by more than one camera?
No.
A place that had military people there monitoring it?
They do have still videos still images from the videos taken of the two suspects. And let's just be real clear here right now. Here, just so everyone knows, suspect number one, who is deceased, his name is Tamerlan Tsarnaev. Okay, Tamerlan Tsarnaev. That's suspect number one. That's the older of the two brothers. He was dead. Suspect number two, Johar Tsarnaev, the younger brother, now, in a potential gunfight with the police and the paramilitary forces on Franklin Street in Watertown, Massachusetts. This at 8:08 p.m. Eastern Time on April 19th, 2013. According to the latest reports, the younger of the two, Johar Tsarnaev, is held in a is captured or surrounded in a boat that is parked in the rear of a residence at 67 Franklin Street in Watertown, Massachusetts. Picture, folks, if you will, a boat covered, winterized, covered with a tarp on a trailer parked behind the residence. And it's interesting because prior to the police checked this boat apparently earlier because there was blood stains on near the door or near the boat or somewhere around the boat and came up empty. This is the first report. And then was called back, police were called back to the scene a short time later and observed a man believed to be the suspect inside underneath the tarp and moving around. So definitely alive, although allegedly wounded. But let me just very quickly, and then I'll turn it over to Joe and open the discussion up here. The entire series, this latest foray of incidents began at 5:10 yesterday when investigators released photos and video. And that, and as Joe pointed out, the video was limited, but videos of the two suspects. So therefore, at 5:10 p.m. yesterday, the photographs and the video was released. And therefore, at least in the suspects' minds and those who knew them, they were identified as the suspects. At 10:30 yesterday p.m., and this is all Eastern time, MIT campus police officer who was responding to a disturbance was found shot in his cruiser, apparently by the suspects. Now, he was later pronounced dead. Minutes later, two armed men reportedly carjacked a Mercedes SUV in Cambridge.
Okay, can you stop and back up a sec?
Yeah, I can. Yes, I can.
I did not hear about the cop officers being killed. Can you go over that one more time, just that part?
Well, okay, at 10:30. An MIT campus police officer who is responding to a disturbance is found shot in his cruiser, apparently shot by the suspects. He was later pronounced dead. Now, there's a whole subplot to that, of course. I'm just going over the highlights, and we'll get into every highlight and every inconsistency or every aspect of this as we go through this. But like I said, a short time later, now, you have to understand, you're talking within a 20-mile radius here, or perhaps even shorter than that or smaller than that, but the police ultimately pursue this carjacked vehicle, this carjacked Mercedes SUV from Cambridge, from where the officer was shot, into Watertown, Massachusetts. Where explosive devices along this or during this chase were thrown from the carjacked vehicle. In the carjackers, meaning the suspects, and police exchanged gunfire. Transit police officer, at least one, was seriously wounded, and one suspect, later identified as the older brother, as I mentioned, Tamerlan Tsarnaev, 26 years old, was dead. He was killed. As a matter of fact, during the escape in the Mercedes, and this is what is reported, the younger brother ran over the older brother. Now, we do have a photograph, and I believe this is now made public, but we received a photograph of the older brother on the morgue table with a gaping wound to his left chest, as if somebody had taken a sword and sliced his left chest. And, of course, a bullet hole below that. And his face was not disfigured, but discolored to an extent that it showed either pre- or post-mortem trauma. I would suspect pre-mortem trauma. That picture, if you hunt for it, I'm sure you'll find it on the internet, if you are so inclined. That brings us up to the situation this morning, as following this since 3:30 this morning.
You're real choppy.
Okay, we've been following it since 3:30 this morning. The chase, the manhunt, the special martial law. Okay, well, there's
in the chat room. Can you hear any choppiness?
I can hear nothing but choppiness on your end.
That's fine.
We're looking at it appears to be a stash here.
Okay. I'll jump off and come back.
No, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. this sounds
much better.
All right, what I did here, just so people know, or just so you know, Joe, that and Troy, I readjusted my microphone settings. I'm not sure exactly how that does interface with Skype, but nonetheless, okay. So the after the series of events, when Bostonians had awakened, they were told to shelter in place. And they brought in roughly 9,000 armed police officers to chase down, to hunt down a 19-year-old man, essentially closed Boston, Watertown, Cambridge, and all of the surrounding areas. Told everyone to stay inside, shelter in place, and not come out. This is a very dangerous and a very fluid situation. And as I said, we've been following this since 3:30 this morning. My question, and I know Joe has numerous questions, is what we're not being told. And what we're not being told is plenty. We see, as does the world, the chase, the manhunt for the suspect, the 19-year-old suspect. And by the way, the media is doing a great job of pulling the most innocuous-looking photographs and posting them for your consumption. Meaning to say that how could this young man with his baby face possibly be involved in a heinous crime like this?
How could the young Adam Lanza go shoot up children in an elementary school?
Exactly. Now,
there's a lot of problems I have with this situation. And I'm sure you've seen all of them as we've kind of went over some and others I sent to you, and I'm pretty sure you looked at. We have
what
these other people, InfoWars has done a good job of pointing these out. These other culprits, they're called, these people of interest who were wearing the Blackwater cut style hats, the skull hats, carrying the backpacks on cell phones with military cargo pants on and boots, same matching shoes. And the shoes are important. And I know this and remember from a video watching demonstrators and protesters at a G20 summit. And they had the infiltrators tipping over dumpsters and setting small fires. You know, the police that go in there to start up riots inside the protests, the provocateurs, they all wore the same shoes. And you could tell who they were. They got to the point where they went to hide behind the cop lines dressed up in all anarchist gear because they were identified out in the public. And but that's what these guys look like.
On the show tomorrow. Are we back? We have another opportunity with audio. All right, let me just double check this here. All right, a very close friend to his enforcement that he recognized, obviously,
everything is compiled, then let us take a look at what we have versus what they have. And then we can, once they commit, we look at the narrative that we're able to, at that point, formulate and then present reasonable questions as to what the purpose is of that. And one more thing, the backstory here that I want to say is Obama and the politics are covering up a Saudi Arabia link to the Boston Point. Okay, we can do that. So just
we're gonna have ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna have to hang up, call back, and it should be good.
All right, we can do that. Folks, stand by. We're gonna be right with you. We're gonna take a short break, gonna be right back. All right, between Obama and Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Saud Al Faisal. And was this perhaps an attempt to cover Saudi attention to the Boston attack? This is when the authorities are scrambling officially straight. Because, if you remember, there were images and most prolifically and so forth. Suspects carrying very large backpacks, some of them obviously very Middle Eastern in appearance, to the individual having been almost certainly identified as, well, here we go, employees of a private military firm, Kraft International. Now, is this something that is a red herring, or is this something that we should? The press conference. So, just continue for those in the event that we can't. Okay. At any rate, so folks, live radio, you know, go figure. Now, Steve Emerson appeared on television, I believe it was today as well, talking about the person of interest, the Saudi national, first suspected of being involved in the Marathon bombing attack. He was talking about Abdul Rahman Ali al-Harbi, and we had mentioned him briefly in previous programming. He is the individual who is scheduled to be deported. Al-Harbi, of course, was put under armed guard. That was the guy, by the way, that was put under armed guard in the hospital bombing. Remember the story about and he was visited, by the way, by a diplomat, and later had his apartment treated by the federal and civil enforcement agency. This goes back, folks. This goes back to actually a family loosely opposition. Florida, a week before the family, it was reported blood so quickly that the food on the table was stove. This person and the family that are all tied together in some way, shape, or form. But in November, confirmed that the suspect is deported on national security grounds. Again, it's not actually, but rarely happens. The news is even more important. Tellingly, the news was announced right after an unscheduled meeting with Barack Obama. That happened on April 17th, 2 days after the bombing, and 2 days ago. The meeting was not on Obama's public schedule. This is pretty interesting because this is, in fact, the way things are done with Saudi Arabia. You don't arrest their citizens, you deport them because you really don't want to embarrass them, and that's how things are done in Saudi Arabia, with Saudi Arabia. So just remember the long and extended bow of Barack Hussein Obama to the king. By the way, I was just notified here by Joe and also the producers who are working hard behind the scenes, just to let you know that Blog Talk Radio, our program, the entire system of Blog Talk Radio is being hit by severe denial of service attacks. Folks, that's out of our hands. We can actually go live on just